You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Each week, the CEO Series takes you inside the minds and lives of some of Canada and indeed the world's top leaders to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing business issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us, like Justin Trudeau, once again Canada's Prime Minister, Muhammad Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Joanne Liu, International President of Doctors Without Borders. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice, the kind of thoughtful leaders leading some of today's more successful organizations. Today, I'm delighted to be in Toronto sitting down with Michael Deluce, CEO of Porter Airlines, one of Canada's premier regional airlines, which is headquartered here in Toronto. And it's great to be in Toronto after months of being in, well, my favorite city of Montreal, but it's just great to be back home in Toronto. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks very much, Carl, for having me.
Tell us about your early years. Where did you grow up and what was your family up to?
So I grew up in Timmins, Ontario, in northern Ontario. Up until I was about 8 years old, I was actually born in Toronto, but lived in Timmins for those early 8 years. Moved to Toronto, I've lived there ever since, at around the age of 8 or 9.
What was your family doing up in Timmins?
So my family's been involved in the airline industry for, you know, upwards of 70 years. And, you know, that started with grandfather, in the 50s. And so it's been, you know, an industry they've always been involved in. And at that point in time, there was an airline, Austin Airways, that was based out of Timmins. And that, was something that the family was actively involved in. And, you know, that gave me an early sort of experience or, you know, immersion into being around aircraft, being around the airline industry. And that probably had a pretty big impact on my life at an early age.
So did you kind of dream of being in the industry as a little kid? Was that part of you growing up?
I don't know if looking back at those early years, I don't know if I dreamed of being in the airline industry. I actually, you know, I really gravitated towards stock trading, equity trading in my teens, and it was very passionate about that. And that's what I always thought I wanted to do was, you know, be an equity trader. I actually got into the trading business out of university at Scotia Capital. But, you know, within a year of that, I realized that I really had an entrepreneurial passion and really a passion for the airline industry and sort of resigned from Scotia Capital to pursue the Porter Initiative.
So what's the mind, the heart of an entrepreneur versus your friends that have stayed at Scotia Capital, not to rub it in, but have made a lot of money? But how is the mind or the heart of the two different in your experience?
You know, a corporate job, a non-entrepreneurial one, is very structured. You know, while stressful, you can, you know, probably better at leaving work behind you in many cases. You're not always building something. But for me, the process of going from an idea to actually creating something, you know, is really at the heart of entrepreneurship. And creating something out of nothing is, you know, very important.
But that taking risk on board of an entrepreneur means you might fail. So when you got involved, like, I guess your dad was actually the CEO when you got started at, sort of a sense that he was the one responsible. But did you have a sense you might fail in the early days? Was that a real possibility?
When you're starting something you're passionate about, I think the concept of failing is not sort of at the front of your mind. Is it there somewhere for sure? Because, you know, starting an airline at an airport that was, you know, effectively dead in the middle of downtown Toronto, all the political obstacles, the naysayers, it's there, but your mind is not geared around failure if you're doing this. And so I think, you know, from the get-go, we were passionate that it just logically makes sense at an airport in downtown Toronto that was 3 kilometers away from the heart of the financial district, that as long as you put in place the right protections to stop Air Canada and other carriers from doing what large carriers do to small carriers, as long as you shielded yourself from that in the early stages, that it would work over time and it may not be on the path you expected, but there could be no doubt that an airport that is located at, you know, 3 kilometers from the heart of the financial district of Canada would be successful.
We're speaking with Michael Deluce, CEO of Porter Airlines, one of Canada's most up-and-coming airlines. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Clearly, you're a leader today, no question about it, as CEO of Porter. When did you first think of yourself as, maybe I'm a leader? Was it back in elementary, high school, or was it later on at Ivy? Or when did you first see yourself that you said to yourself, Michael, I might be a leader like my dad?
I never made that connection, but I did gravitate always towards entrepreneurial ventures. You know, when people had summer jobs, I started a painting landscaping company. You know, I also a travel company to sell packages to university students or grad trips. So, you know, and in each of those cases, there was team members involved that I had to manage and lead. But I don't think at that early age I really thought of, you know, I want to be a leader. It was just, you know, it really was geared around entrepreneurial ventures that by, you know, its very nature, they weren't, a single individual shop. You know, on the painting and landscaping side, I would have been sort of in my mid-teens and would have had, you know, about eight to 10 people working at peak in the summer. So
what have you learned about leadership during the pandemic? Very hard times for everybody, most industries, if you're not Amazon sort of thing. What have you learned about leadership? How are you different today than you were a year and a half ago?
For sure, the pandemic had such an impact on our team member base that I had to evolve leadership style and, you know, effectively took the approach of open kimono with team members. You know, ask any question, you know, good or bad or ugly, and you'll get the answer. And you may like it, you may not like the answer, but it was sort of an open book approach. And I think the feedback was that team members really found that very helpful to get through the pandemic.
Do you think that will change how you lead in years going forward?
I believe so. I think the pandemic would have changed leadership style. And, you know, if it worked in that environment, then why not use that style going forward?
How big was Porter in terms of fleet and employees pre-pandemic, kind of at its height? And how big is it today in comparison? Just give a sense of the evolution during the pandemic.
So on March 20th, 2020, we suspended operations. At that point in time, we were roughly 1,400 full-time team members. We had 29 aircraft, all Dash 8 400 series aircraft, operating. Roughly 85% of that fleet would be operating in and out of Billy Bishop Toronto City Airport, and about 15% of that was operating in Eastern Canada, airports that didn't touch Billy Bishop, including Ottawa, Halifax, Moncton, Halifax, St. John's, Montreal, Halifax. And so obviously March 20th, we did take steps to temporarily suspend operations. At that point in time, it was 3 months is what we thought would be needed. And people thought, wow, that is a long time. You know, it turned into 18 months. And on September 8th of 21, we relaunched operations. And today we're operating, as of September 17th, Canadian and U.S. destinations with roughly, I think it's around 18 aircraft. But it's only, they're spaced out more to provide operational flexibility. And roughly today, it's about 36% of our pre-pandemic capacity. October 6th, immediately before Canadian Thanksgiving, we're going up to roughly 55% of our pre-pandemic capacity, at which point we will then, you know, see how things evolve and see if, you know, how long it takes for demand to recover. You know, it's clearly not there today. But we're seeing a good, strong rebound in demand across Canada from what was effectively no travel for a long period of times.
You're listening to the CEO Series, and today we're in Toronto speaking with Michael Deluce, CEO of Porter Airlines. So when I talk about some strategy class next week, there you have a physical asset, Billy Bishop Airport, that was your beginning advantage. But you've added a second one, is that you have better service at a similar cost, so that you have actually better experience, which will transfer to Pearson or anywhere else that you fly. So that's your second big advantage.
It's better service at the same price, but building the airline on a lower cost structure. And a lower cost structure, you know, is built in many ways. One, you have something that is replicatable, aircraft type. Well, the most fuel-efficient narrow-body aircraft that we could have selected. And we think it's a right-size aircraft in a post-pandemic world, which would be hyper-competitive. And I would rather come to that fight with 130-seat aircraft than 190-seat max, you know, 737. That's a lot of seats to fill. So that's one aspect. But the second is we're a newer airline, and airlines by default have an advantage being younger because pay scales have progression by year. And so we could have highly qualified second or third or fourth year pilots on a second, third or fourth year wage scale, whereas Air Canada by default or WestJet, because of the time progression, they are carriers that have most of their team members on much higher pay scales. And so we may pay the same, but they're all on the top end of the scale. We're at the bottom. It creates this structural cost advantage that cannot be replicated. And Porter is able to step into that as we grow with the new fleet of aircraft and effectively populate them with a significant, we'll be competitive on salary, we'll have an inherent salary advantage because of scale progression.
And with only two type of aircraft, pilots can, would most pilots fly both, or would you kind of specialize in one or the other?
Because there's expensive recurrent training on a 6-month basis, typically you would only be type rated on one aircraft.
Today I'm delighted to be speaking with Michael DeLuce, CEO of Porter Airlines. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about the day Michael had to shut down Porter Airlines.
Top-notch insight from proven leaders. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. I'm speaking today in Toronto with Michael DeLuce, CEO of Porter Airlines. Well, that must have been quite the day when you shut down your airline. Tell us about that day. It must have been very emotional.
Yeah, it definitely was. It wasn't in my mind a single day. It was sort of a very quick sort of 1 week period. On March 2nd, we actually had a board meeting. There was the early signs of there's a pandemic around the world, not in Canada yet. Things moved very quickly in the month of March of 2020. And even at that March 2nd board meeting, we're reporting record results on every front, and there was no evidence of sort of infection in our booking curves or revenue, pardon the pun, but it was smooth sailing. And literally by the fourth or fifth, when things, it moved extremely quickly at that point in time, it was just an immediate wind down of sort of revenue coming into the system. And it was sort of layers of travel restrictions coming in. They were concerning for team members, stay-at-home orders. So it became very clear probably by the 10th of March that we had to take action. So it was really some pre-planning. And I think by the 16th or 17th, we announced with our team members a closure temporarily. And publicly shortly after that. So, it was difficult, but I think team members got it, and they were all scared for themselves at that point in time. So, it was pretty interesting.
Air Canada WestJet came back sooner than you did. Why did you decide to wait as long as you did? What was the thinking behind that?
So Air Canada and WestJet were differently situated. They never fully suspended operations. Porter did, Air Transat did at certain points in time, Sunwing did at certain points in time, but effectively the government was saying non-essential travel should not be undertaken. It was really essential travel only, and Porter was operating regional markets where there are drive alternatives or plenty of alternatives at Pearson. It's a smaller airport than Pearson, which operates in the same market. So to us, we were not essential. And we had our own challenges with the facilities. And so all of that led to a quick decision that Porter would be best off suspending operations to ensure we complied with health and safety rules that the government was putting in place and to ensure the protection of our own team members and our passengers. That ended up, and how we were situated in the marketplace and that requirement to shut down actually served us incredibly well. And while from the outside, you look in and say, they didn't operate a flight for 18 months. For us, because we were situated that way and had to take these steps, we actually, while losing money over the last 18 months, every airline in the world would have lost money. We, on a relative basis versus our competitors, fared extremely well. We were probably the most profitable airline in the world during 2020 because we lost the least amount of money. Yeah. Yeah. And so now as we come out of the pandemic, that has opened up many opportunities as airlines such as Air Canada have lost $6 billion or will lose $6 billion over the pandemic. That's a staggering amount of money, and that's difficult to recoup the impact on one's balance sheet is there forever.
So
it actually became a position of strength. And when we realized that position of strength, there was other factors that led to making long-term investments into the business, but we were comfortable making sizable investments into the business for the future in a post-pandemic world and where Porter would be.
We're speaking with Michael Deluce, CEO of Porter Airlines, one of Canada's most up-and-coming airlines. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. One of the things you've done is you're buying a number of Embraer aircraft. But maybe given what you said, I think I understand the logic. But why are you buying those aircraft, and how are you going to use them?
So Porter has been constrained in its ability to grow from Billy Bishop Airport over the last 15 years. We fully developed the airport, but with a short runway, 4,000 foot, turboprop only operation, our ability to operate was really limited to northeastern Canada and United States. And as we look forward, right prior to the pandemic, we were literally on the eve of committing to a growth plan, albeit different than where we ended up pivoting to during the pandemic. But we were very late stage in making significant expansion plans public. And so, the pandemic started, and the first 6 months of that pandemic, we focused in on team, trying to figure out, where we were going. We focused on the business. We actually made substantial investments in our own fleet of 29 aircraft that existed today. Brand new interiors, carpet, sidewalls, even the labs were restored, exterior paint. So they look like brand new aircraft. And so when you're flying them every day, you don't have time to sort of complete tasks like that. So as well, systems, commercial development, cost reduction initiatives. We're sort of after 6 months out of things to do, and we felt comfortable that eventually this pandemic would end and air travel would return, and looked at the landscape. And the landscape we thought was one where competitors were permanently entrenching, were retrenching with reduced fleet sizes, permanent retirement of aircraft, laying off team members permanently. Porter only had temporary layoffs, but our competitors were making, long-term permanent layoffs to their workforce, sometimes in the neighborhood of 25%+. And as well, aircraft were plentiful and cheap. Airlines suffered, but aircraft manufacturers also suffered because they had a raft of deferrals in 22 and 23. And so, and as well, the last chunk being infrastructure was available at airports such as Pearson. With carriers having reduced presence, there's ability to get the infrastructure that you need. And so when you bring all those things together, it made sense that that was our path going forward, where we could take the Porter product and brand, an existing carrier with a strong presence and customer base in Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, and Halifax, and take that brand and product, which is loved by our passengers, and really expand it to all of North America and bring what is what we call the flying refined experience. Premium snacks, premium beer and wine served in glassware, an elevated level of service at every touch point, and really rolling that out across North America will create additional competition and choice for customers, but as well elevate service across the industry.
You're listening to the CEO Series, and today we're in Toronto speaking with Michael Deluce, CEO of Porter Airlines. It just strikes me as a gutsy move. Like when you sat down with the board, lot of airline experience. Was there kind of they look at you, but then they you won them over because of their, you know, understanding the dynamics? Like, it just strikes me as a gutsy move, almost contrary to most airlines right now.
So other airlines that were larger, their only choice before board and shareholders and strategy was to shrink.
Yeah.
And shrinking is difficult in a fixed cost business. They already own all these planes. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So that creates their own set of challenges. Now, Porter knew that we were smaller, but we had a great brand, and we had the only option for us was to expand out of the pandemic, because our existing 29 aircraft and the markets we serve for sure will be compromised for some period of time. But the ability to expand into other markets was a way that we could properly deploy all of our assets and our team members without laying people off. If you already are an airline like Air Canada and operate across all of Canada and the U.S., you can't grow into a solution. You have to shrink.
Yeah.
And so it was a very different approach, and it was the only approach we could take. And our board and shareholders, some of which are clearly very experienced in the industry, agreed that it was the right time to make this step, and it had to be a long-term investment in the airline. And everybody's very excited, you know, about where it's ended up. And I think so far, you know, aircraft prices are already stabilizing, so we bought at a very opportunistic time. You know, team members are available, you know, great talent is available, and we think we'll be well positioned starting middle of 22 to start executing on that at a better time of the recovery period.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Michael Deleuze, CEO of Porter Airlines, at their center at Billy Bishop Airport here in Toronto. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about strategy, leadership, and how it's evolved in Michael's mind over the years.
Exclusive access to some of the most successful leaders out there. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Today, I'm delighted to be in Toronto. Actually, I'm delighted to be almost anywhere in the world, but particularly the city of Toronto, where I grew up. I'm sitting down with Michael Deleuze, CEO of Porter Airlines. How do you do strategy at Porter? Is it coming from you, or is it the board, or how do you do strategy here at Porter?
I think it evolves through the entire senior team. You know, often ideas will come about, they're discussed. Sometimes they evolve over time, but it is a collaborative process amongst senior team members. If we're talking about pure, important, long-term strategic decisions, they really are, you know, thoroughly thought through and discussed at a senior level. It's not just one person here or three people. We have, you know, a really great leadership team that all contribute greatly.
Do you bring in like a McKinsey or a Bain or BCG consultants like that, or is it something you all do?
We don't generally use third-party consultants for strategy. We, you know, think that we know our business as best as anyone. And so I think, without exception, all strategic initiatives really come from internally, not third-party consultants.
What's the role of the board in terms of strategy and directions and big decisions? What role does the board play?
It's a sanity check.
Okay.
You know, when you're, you know, coming up with ideas and big ideas such as growth and buying 82 E195s, that, you know, that there is, you know, oversight. But we have a great mix of board members of different talents, including some experienced airline individuals, some in finance, you know, some in other areas of expertise. And so, you know, it not only is a sanity check, but as well, they offer great insights and input to help, you know, really take those plans and crystallize them in a final concept.
Is there any other family members in the business, just, or is it you and your dad?
Bob and myself are involved directly with Porter, as is have a brother, Jason Deleuze, as well, that are is involved with Porter as well.
What's his job, Porter?
So he's a senior within our technology group. It's something he's been very passionate about his whole life, and that's the area of the business he focuses on.
How different is it being CEO than when you were the number two or, you know, a senior person? How different is it being CEO?
It's different that as a number two or a chief commercial officer, you know, you could remain on the sidelines or in the shadows more, which, you know, I frankly was completely fine with. And that's where, you know, I would say I best operated. Where, you know, as in CEO, you now have a different responsibility beyond just, you know, making the right strategic decisions. You also need to, you know, be involved with team members. They'll look to you for, you know, guidance and inspiration. And so there's a different set of responsibilities where you're carrying the whole team, not just, you know, necessarily a strategy portion of it.
You're listening to the CEO Series, and today we're in Toronto speaking with Michael Deluce, CEO of Porter Airlines. We will probably, the medical people tell us, we'll probably have another pandemic someday. Clearly, we're better prepared when that happens. Hopefully, it'll never happen, but let's say in 3 or 4 years, you've learned some things that next time around, you can more quickly move to action, I take it.
We moved pretty quick into action. We were the first carrier to suspend operations. I mean, it was a very rapid response. So I think we responded very quickly. But the pandemic clearly showed that you can never plan enough for anything.
Yeah.
There's no balance sheet that could, you know, be prepared for something like what happened. No one would ever guess that you could be, you know, in a suspended operation mode as an airline for 18 months. So, you know, people ask, well, what if it happens again? So we'll have to make the decisions then as to what we do, but clearly we'll have to move swiftly and take steps, but you can't, you know, be sort of, you know, soft, you know, in your response. You have to move quickly and decisively.
I guess it helps being a smaller organization that it's you and you talk to the board and you talk to your senior team, but you move. Where if you're a bigger organization, it tends to be a little more unwieldy.
For sure. I mean, the task of Porter winding down an operation is much simpler than a larger organization, yeah, like some of our competitors. And, you know, everybody is within 20 feet of each other. And so you sort of go to the next office, you chat, decisions are made, and we just execute. So size really helped us move fast.
I've flown Porter many times. I love the fact that it brings me right to downtown Toronto, because that's where our meetings are. And 12 minutes later, I'm at the Royal York, and I'm at the Royal Bank 5 minutes later. So this is great. A lot of the travelers traditionally have been business travelers, but business travelers are now Zooming. Do you think business travelers will come back a lot, or what's your view of that as someone who works a lot with business travelers?
I think certainly video conferencing has certain benefits and was necessary during the pandemic. I believe that business travel will be the last segment to return fully. And I think there is real questions about whether business travel returns to 100% of pre-pandemic levels. That's the reality we face. And as an airline that was somewhat focused on business travel, although we have a good mix of leisure and business, we need to adjust going forward. And so that may change our deployment of Billy Bishop to make sure that, you know, destinations where there is leisure traffic, you know, are emphasized, whether it be popular destinations, Montreal or New York or others, to really capture that leisure traffic. But as well, it was an additional benefit of our expansion plans to allow us to be able to operate the E2, E195 aircraft that we're purchasing to a wide range of destinations and gear it towards leisure if need be versus business. And so, you know, as well, it was an opportunity to, you know, have optionality going forward on how we deploy our assets. So I think, you know, it will be longer to come back. Leisure travel clearly is pent up. We're seeing incredible demand on markets like Toronto, New York. Like, New York is a destination that people, it's sort of an easy layup to have a nice weekend away. It's not a big commitment. You know, the jurisdiction is safe, you know, and it's different than going somewhere, you know, very far away where there could be, you know, changes in vaccination policies and other areas. So a market like New York, we're seeing roaring demand on right now.
You're listening to the CEO Series, and today we're in Toronto speaking with Michael Deluce, CEO of Porter Airlines. Sorry, the business travel will come back. Do you offer a different product for the business traveler than for the leisure traveler? How do you differentiate between the two?
All Porter passengers, whether you're traveling on leisure, traveling on business, whether you buy a $50 fare or a more expensive fare closer in, you all get the same high level of Porter service, which includes, as I mentioned earlier in the segment, you know, beer and wine served in glassware, yeah, premium snack, and a high-touch service throughout. Everyone benefits from that at Porter, all passengers. And so our product doesn't have to change. How we deploy the aircraft may have to be balanced a little, how we go after traffic. you know, leisure traffic, I think, will actually, you know, over a period of time, be stronger than pre-pandemic.
Okay.
Because people miss traveling for 18 months and they want to travel.
Yeah.
Whereas so, business traffic may be less.
So looking at 23, 24, what's your tentative vision for Porter? Like, where will you be flying and how big will you be? What's your initial sense for that?
I think by the end of 2025, you'll see Porter with a strong position across Canada. The 80 aircraft that we have on order will all be completed by then. And they'll be deployed out of Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, and Halifax to effectively any large destination you would see in Canada and the U.S., coast to coast, both business and leisure focused sun destinations, and as well some presence in Caribbean and Mexico, supported by a fleet of Dash 8-400 aircraft that we presently operate to help provide some feed, but as well, you know, our Billy Bishop operation will remain completely intact and a core part of our future is really a separate operation from this expansion.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Michael DeLuce, CEO of Porter Airlines. Next stop, we'll talk about whether Michael is an introvert or an extrovert and how he spends his free time. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
They made it, and they're telling you how. You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm speaking with Michael DeLuce, CEO of Porter Airlines. Are you more of an introvert or extrovert, Michael?
I would say that's evolved over time. Actually, the pandemic, I think, probably changed the answer to that question. So I would have been very introverted before. And I would say over the pandemic, some reason that actually changed where I feel more extroverted now.
What I argue to some degree is that as a CEO, you've got to act like an extrovert at times and introvert at other times. So the introvert part you got down, but as a CEO, you got to give an inspiring speech from time to time, and you got to have that more take charge attitude. So you've learned to do that since being, you know, kind of more in the background as a chief commercial officer. That's part of your learning as a CEO?
Yeah, and I think during the pandemic, it made being an extrovert all the more important because we were regularly, what I think we did extremely well on over the pandemic was we had a lot of team members that were on temporary layoff and it was very uncertain for them. And so they needed constant communication. So we held, CEO updates on Zoom, team members, we would do it by group. So we'd spend a whole week, doing full updates where we were. They needed that, but also, to answer any and all questions. So I think it kind of drove the need to really be more extroverted because people needed a sounding board to talk to.
Did you take time with some of your people to say, ask how your kid's doing? Like, was that personal touch an important thing during the pandemic for you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was sort of such a unique time that the conversation was always different. Is everybody healthy? Is everybody safe?
Yeah.
So I think the conversation may have been a bit different, than what it would have been pre-pandemic, obviously.
So that genuine, I care for you, is an important part of leadership in today's world.
Yes.
Like you're not a number, you're a human being.
For sure. I mean, it's sometimes difficult to remember everything about 1,400 team members, but, having genuine interest in their lives is important.
So early days in pandemic, I've talked about 100 CEOs, and many said that in the early days, it was just nonstop work because of the crisis. At a certain point, did you have to say to yourself, calm down, Michael, you need to exercise, you need to take a break from it all? Did you kind of have that conversation with yourself at some point?
Yeah, I mean, we at home started, like many people, because you could see it on the streets, walking a lot. We have a dog. And so, that is sort of being something that's morphed into my relaxation after a long day. I actually, and this is more recent, I've only been actively in the office for the last 4 weeks. We just relaunched operations on September 8th. So, I make a point, I'm trying to every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. and I'm on the road by 6 a.m. with the dog. He kind of runs the other way in the morning when he sees me because I take him for an hour and a half. It takes me to 7:30. I actually bring my phone for that, and it gets, you know, clear thinking, and I can send, you know, a whole slew of emails out in the morning while I'm walking. Then I go to work, and then after I come back, before dinner, I change into my gym clothes have dinner, and immediately clip the leash on the dog. And I go out for another hour and a half at 6:30, 7 o'clock. But that walk, I actually leave my cell phone at home, and it's sort of unwind from the day. So, you know, that's been only 3 or 4 weeks I've been doing that, but it feels good so far.
What kind of dog do you have?
It's like a 17-pound golden doodle. And I tell you, I mean, my wife says that the dog probably hates me because I wake him up in the morning. He's not awake. I wake him up, put the leash on. I started waking him up, and he would run upstairs. You know, he's getting overwalked is a view. But anyways, once he's out there, he loves it. He just needs a little encouragement.
What is your passion? When did you find it, and has it evolved?
My passion really is, sad as it sounds, is work and airline industry. And it's so dynamic that, you know, the competitive landscape, it is, you know, often a zero-sum game amongst competitors. It's fixed costs, high capital cost business. So the stakes of being wrong are often much higher. And so, you know, it's something that I just love every day. And so I'm fortunate that, you know, something I'm passionate about, I actually do every day. So, you know, it is, you know, that really is my passion.
We're speaking with Michael Deluce, CEO of Porter Airlines, one of Canada's most up-and-coming airlines. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Any plan to do an IPO in the future at some point?
We're well-financed and capitalized right now, and so we have no capital needs. And so at this point in time, that's not a focus. I think ultimately, long-term, after we are well into execution of our growth plans, there could be merit in doing so. But right now, that's not a focus.
So there's a certain pleasure not having to do quarterly things, and, you know, what a public company is required. That, you know, and I've talked to people who've gone public, then gone back to private, just to get it, you know, get it out of their hair, so to speak. So there's a certain joy to being privately held. You're part of the ownership team, and you move forward as you need to.
For sure. I mean, being public has certain benefits in access to capital markets and liquidity and shares for shareholders. But at the same point, it comes with a whole set of responsibilities and reporting that is cumbersome. So, you know, I think we're pretty comfortable, especially as we go into this growth phase, being private and, again, well capitalized. So why take that step now if there is no impetus for it?
Well, with my MBA students, we had some Brothmans come to class last night, and they were talking about this. And part of it is, an MBA, you should find your passion. But it's not a trivial thing to find. I mean, you grew up with it in the family, your grandfather, your father ran airlines, so you kind of... But it's nice that you have that sense of... I mean, you love the smell of aviation fuel in the morning, to quote Apocalypse Now. That just... You love being here.
Yes. I mean, you know... Having been doing this for 15 years actively at Porter, I still look up every time a plane flies by.
Wow.
Like, it's, you know, it happens 200 times a day, but it's just something that, you know, I'm passionate about. And I think that's not unique. A lot of people that are in this industry comment that they're sort of stuck in the airline industry forever, because when they leave it, they just want to be back in it. There's something unique about the aviation industry and airlines in particular that many people gravitate towards.
What's your favorite vacation spot you and the family have been to in the last 10 years since you've had kids? Where's the place that you really love to go to, or you've been to and you love anyway?
You know, more recently, and you know, it would be skiing, Whistler. I find skiing is a great family experience. The kids love it, but you're outdoors together, you know, all day. It's, you know, active. It's not just sort of a moment in time. You're there for 6 hours doing it. And so, you know, that's probably some of the better trips we've had have been skiing orientated. And Whistler is a great Canadian destination for that.
What book are you reading right now? Not during the interview, but... You're not reading a book now, I hope, but what book are you reading right now?
I just started a book, Atomic Habits. which is, you know, clearly, you know, it's probably per the name, it's all about, you know, creating small habits in life that really, you know, if done over and over, they have a pretty significant impact on your life. And, you know, the example of what we talked about earlier, although I'm just at the early stages of the book, I imagine I'm going to find out from this book that walking the dog every day at 6 a.m. like clockwork is an atomic habit.
I think it is. This is the CO Series. Michael, thank you for joining us today. We'd also like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna, and our producer, Youssef Sehonia. Thank you for tuning into the CO Series. À la prochaine.